You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Thursday, March the 7th, 2019. Just flying through the week, already a Thursday, looking Friday dead in the face, but we are here on a Thursday, and it is the Locked On Raiders podcast, and I'm your boy Q, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. Been getting hit up a lot on Twitter because of the fact that there's so many rumors, what's going to happen? Who's going to be a Raider? Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's coming to the team? Who's not going to the team? Who's getting traded? I don't know. It's bananas. Lots of stuff to talk about, lots of stuff to cipher through, a lot of stuff to kind of just go around and talk about, and we're going to get to all that. But first, before we do that, and I'll tell you what's going to come up on the show. Matter of fact, let me do that right now. Coming up on the show today in segments 2 and 3, I told you, I've been telling you all week that I got a lot of calls on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line that I want to get to. I'm going to get through a lot of them during segments number 2 and 3. Got a lot of good stuff, and a lot of good stuff that has to do with rumors, free agency, Derek Carr, all kind of stuff. You know, the Coliseum. There's just all kind of things Raiders related on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. So I want to get through a lot of those calls. We're going to do that in segments number 2 and in segment number 3. Segment number 1, going to talk about some of those rumors. But before I get to those rumors, those hot and heavy rumors, I want to tell you about what I had going on with my job, ESPN Central Texas, on Wednesday. I think this is a hell of an event and really a hell of an experience that I had to go through, or I didn't have to go through, but I did go through, and I just kind of want to share it with you, and this is the reason why. There's a lot of times that, you know, we show love to the military, like, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Flag Day. I mean, any day that has to do with military, you know, we kind of stop down and we'll put the flags out and we'll say, oh, 4th of July, forgot about that, how can I forget about that? But we'll say, you know, hey, thank you to a veteran, or some of us will see a veteran in the street, or maybe we'll see an active military personnel, maybe at the airport or something, dressed up in their fatigues, and you say, hey, thank you, you know, thank you for your service or whatever like that. But sometimes it doesn't really hit you in the face of what's really going on. So I say all that to tell you, on Wednesday, I was actually on Fort Hood, which is one of the biggest military bases in the country. I was in an event for high school student athletes in the area, Harker Heights. It was called Harker Heights vs. Killeen High Boot Camp Experience and Fort Hood Tour 2019. And I know this has nothing to do with the Raiders, but at the same time, I just think that it's something that is cool to share. So the thing went down like this, man. It was a whole event, and I got there bright and early in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. Had to be there at the gate of the military base, Fort Hood. And that's what we did. Me and my co-host Craig Smoke, we absolutely did that. And it was actually a boot camp competition between, like I said, Killeen High and Harker Heights. Really, really cool. But I had never gone through any of this stuff, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks, and I know there's a lot of folks that listen to this podcast that have military backgrounds, have families that are actively serving, are veterans or whatever, you know, have some kind of military background in their family. And so that's another reason why I want to bring this up, because, again, I think you'll appreciate that. And I think that sometimes we just need to stop down and think about what's really, really important and what's really going on in life. And again, I'm going to get to Raider rumors and all that good stuff in just a minute, but I just wanted to share a couple pieces of audio with you before I actually get into that from my experience on Wednesday. So there's this thing, and they kind of briefed us on it when we got there, and they said, as soon as the kids get there on the school buses, the drill sergeants are going to jump up on the bus, and they're actually going to hit them with what they call the shark attack. I had no idea what the shark attack was, so the drill sergeant said, that's cool. I'm glad you don't know. You go ahead and sit on the bus, and you get your phone out and get ready to record, and you can record what is going on. So I got up on the school bus, and let me tell you, man, the shark attack is something real. And look, this is a dumbed-down version of it. They didn't want to, you know, they're not going to go full throttle just, you know, kicking these kids' tails or whatever like that. But they gave them a good little example. And I'll tell you right now, when I first got on the bus, a lot of kids were laughing and giggling and, you know, oh, man, we're going to kill this thing. And, oh, man, I ain't worried about these drill sergeants. They ain't nothing. And Then they heard them come on the bus and get real serious real quick. So here's the first bit of audio that I wanted to share with you, and it's just the drill sergeants actually on the bus and basically getting these kids' attention. Check this out.
Be quiet! Listen up! I need you to put your head down! Put your head down! Put your head down! Put your head down! From here on out, you will refer me as drill sergeant. Do you understand?
Yes, sir!
Louder! Do you understand?
Yes, sir!
Louder!
Yes, sir!
Louder!
Yes, sir!
Louder!
Yes, sir!
To get off my bus. Let's go!
All right, so that was the first piece of audio. So I really, really liked that. But then it was different because then they were all the kids were out and they were on the lawn and on the grounds. And, you know, the drill sergeants were talking to them because, like I said, it was a competition. So they were getting one squad ready and another set of drill sergeants were getting another squad ready. Well, I had my favorite sergeant, this lady named Sergeant Green, and you'll hear her in this audio I'm about to play for you right now. She was going ham. She was going off, and I'm telling you right now, I did everything I could not to laugh because it almost made me laugh with some of the one-liners that she had, but she really got in these kids' business, and she really got their attention. So check out Sergeant Green. Check out her her other drill sergeants that were along there with her, and you'll hear them getting these kids fired up and getting these kids in line. And I'm telling you, man, I really formed a new appreciation for something that I had never experienced, which was, you know, this thing called the shark attack and obviously boot camp. So here's Sergeant Green and the rest of the drill sergeants on Fort Hood on Wednesday.
It's a game to you.
Hurry up.
He's a big man.
See me, close your mouth.
Suck it in, guys. Dress it right. Look to your right. Get in line. Now everybody to the left. Do the same. Dress it right.
That's what we're doing. We're just looking around. Especially you. What you doing? Can't talk. You ain't getting nothing in your head all day today. You want to come to me like that?
Look at that one. He groaned. That's what it is, man.
What position you play? Nothing.
Something in the back. Something in that fold.
Professional water boy.
My mama said.
He's got to be the water boy.
I don't know what to say. Stop trying to serenade me. I don't like it.
All right, so that was that. I'm sure somebody right now is like, what are you doing, Q? Get to the Raiders. And I am. I'm about to get there. I'll tell you right now, maybe the Raiders, maybe John Gruden and Mike Mayock need to call Fort Hood or call some of the military bases there. Right there in Alameda. Hell, they got a military base right there in Alameda. Obviously, you got Fort Ord right there in Seaside, California, up there by Monterey. I mean, there's all kind of military bases. Maybe they need to make a call to them and get some discipline. That's what I thought of. And that's another reason why I put it on the podcast. That's something I thought of. Some of the stuff that they were doing on Wednesday at Fort Hood, it was called what was it? Damn it, I hate that I forget. See, that's why I wouldn't be very good in the military. There was a term that they used. It was basically run from this drill to that drill. And so they were supposed to say, yes, drill sergeant, and then go instead of just going. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where you're supposed to say, yes, drill sergeant, and then go. So it was like, respond and then react. That's what it was. Respond and then react. So it kind of made me think of like third and three. and you have a quarterback trying to draw you off sides, like Patrick Mahomes is trying to draw you off sides, draw the defense off sides, and it goes with a little bit of a hard count, and all of a sudden someone jumps, Arden Key jumps, offsides, 5 yards, automatic first down. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that made me think of, and that's why they were doing something like this, because it was with high school football players from the Killeen area, from the Central Texas area, and so it just was kind of one of those things about teamwork. And so I said on the way back from to the radio station, I told my co-host, man, I think everybody should experience that, including some professional teams, you know what I mean? Just because it kind of gives you a little bit more discipline in how you cannot win this game without your teammates. And again, I didn't go on this big, long spiel just to say that John Gruden and Mike Mayock need to go and get these guys to, you know, run the Raiders through a military drill, you know, or a boot camp. But at the same time, they might need to run them through a boot camp. You know what I'm saying? Just get a little bit of discipline. Maybe they wouldn't have so many damn penalties throughout the season. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and I think that that's really cool. And so I say all that to say thank you. Thank you to anyone and everyone who is, you know, active military, a military vet, anyone who has family that's given the ultimate sacrifice for the country. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can never thank you enough. None of us can, and we don't do it often enough. So I'm sorry that it took pretty much the whole first segment for me to get all that out and share that audio with you, but I just think it's important that every once in a while we just dumb it down a little bit and take a second to realize other things that are going on outside of our lives, outside of just the Oakland Raiders and, you know, and football and all that other good stuff. But again, it's all about teamwork, and that does have to do with the Raiders. So I'm going to keep this segment going. Lots of rumors are floating around about Antonio Brown. I mean, really, he's the hot subject right now. And the latest reports is that something's going to be done by Friday. And I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. I've been talking about this for quite a while, ever since it was basically known that the Steelers were willing to trade Antonio Brown. I just felt like this is something that John Gruden was going to be very intrigued by. Right now, I'm full throttle believing that the Raiders are the team that's going to go and get him. I think Antonio Brown will probably be a Raider when I wake up Saturday morning, similar to the way I woke up September 1st when Khalil Mack was traded from the Raiders to the Bears. I woke up to that alert on my phone. I feel like sometime, either Friday or Saturday, I'm either going to wake up or I'm already going to be out and about doing something, and I'm going to get that alert on the phone that says the Raiders have acquired Antonio Brown. The only question I have is, what are they going to give up? What is the compensation? I'm hearing a lot of things about the Steelers really want a first-round pick, and I know the Raiders have three of them, but Raider Nation, I do not want to come up off of any of those first-round picks. I really don't want to come up off the second-round pick, but you've heard me say it before, I can live with that. I can live with giving up basically the second-round pick and getting Antonio Brown and losing Amari Cooper. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of folks are saying, well, if you give up the number 27 overall pick, basically what you did is you swapped out Amari Cooper for Antonio Brown. I can live with that as well, even though Antonio Brown is 31 years old. I still think his production is going to be better in the next 3 years than what Amari Cooper is going to get. Now, I could be wrong, but I think that Amari Cooper in Dallas is not going to be as hot as it was the last, you know, whatever handful of games that he had with the Cowboys when he first went over. I think in 2019, 2020, I think it's going to be a little bit different. So I'd be willing to bet that Antonio Brown will put up bigger numbers. And I think that Derek Carr will have no problem throwing the rock to him or whoever's going to be the quarterback, because there's a lot of rumors floating around about that. But I just don't think that the Raiders should give up any of their first-round picks. Give up that second-round pick if you have to, and that's only if you have to. But those first-round picks, man, those are so stinking valuable because you get that fifth-year option. You really do, and I know it didn't work out and didn't pay out for Khalil Mack, and it didn't pay off for Amari Cooper either because he was traded before that. But that fifth-year option is so valuable. I do not want to see the Raiders give that up. So really, if they're going to give up something for Antonio Brown, let it be that number 35 overall pick. I'd rather them try to play hardball and only give up a third-round pick, but I just don't see that happening when they gave up a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant, and Antonio Brown is heads and tails way better than Martavis Bryant. Excuse me. So that's going to be very, very interesting, but in my heart, I feel like it's a done deal. I said it on my radio show the other day. Matter of fact, on Wednesday, that I feel like it's a done deal that the Raiders are going to go ahead and land Antonio Brown, and I've just basically almost come to terms to it, okay? And there's also another report out about John Gruden trying to put together a super team, and I kind of mentioned it just briefly on Wednesday because I really didn't think too much of it, but there's a report out there, and matter of fact, Benjamin Albright, he's based in Denver, and he's deep into sports, definitely comes up on a lot of rumors that are going on in the NFL. You know, he's got a lot of sources throughout the league, and, you know, he does radio and TV in the Denver area. He's been saying, and he even screenshotted his text messages that said that John Gruden was coming up, trying to come up with a super team and land Kyler Murray, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell. And look, I don't know how legit that is. I really don't. I kind of look at it and say, yeah, come on, man. You know, like, I just don't buy that because, one, I think that's going to take a lot of assets. I think it's going to take a lot of assets for the Raiders to move up from number four to number one to go get Kyler Murray. And then who knows? Maybe the Cardinals don't really want him at number one. But that it just seems like a whole lot have to go John Gruden and Mike Mayock's way for them to be able to pull all three of those off. And I'm still kind of skeptical on even how that would shake out. I'm not a huge fan of it. But what I can say is that Benjamin Albright's going to be a guest on my radio show at 12:30 Central Time today. This afternoon, he's going to be a guest on ESPN Central Texas. You can always stream it at krzi.streamon.fm or TuneIn Radio, ESPN Central Texas, KRZI on TuneIn Radio. You can always do that. Again, 12:30 Central Time, he's going to be a guest. And so please believe, if you don't hear it live on the radio, it'll be on the podcast on Friday because I will ask him straight up about that, where it's coming from, does he think it's real, you know, and then pick his brain on some other things too. So that should be interesting. So this afternoon, I will get those answers from Benjamin Albright and see what he has to say about that. That's another rumor. Now, one other piece of news, it's not really a rumor, it's just the fact that the Oakland Raiders and the stadium situation in Oakland that we thought was basically 100% done deal records and we could celebrate because it's one more year in Oakland. Well, it's about 95% there. It's not quite all the way there. And what's worse about it is not just a matter of, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. It's actually like a real deal, serious issue. Basically, Scott McKibben, executive director of the Coliseum Authority, said there's one rather significant issue on Raiders' lease the team recently raised. Did not go into specifics. Resolution on it likely by Friday. Serious enough, it could put us in a real position where there's not a deal. Then it continues with, on the business terms of this deal, we're 95% there. But there is one big issue that we need to get worked out. And I'm hoping we'll have an answer from the Raiders today or tomorrow about how they feel about this open issue. That's all it says. That's all it is, but it's still a hangup. So it's not quite there yet, Raider Nation. I still think it gets done. I've thought the whole time that it was going to get done, barring something crazy and catastrophic or whatever. And that's where we're at right now. I feel like we're first and goal from like the 1 yard line. Just don't throw the ball. Hand the ball to beast mode. You know what I'm saying? Don't pull a Seattle Seahawks and throw the ball in the end zone and get it picked off. Just go on and hand the ball to beast mode and let them power it in. You got four downs, you can get it in. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. We're at the 1 yard line as far as the fans getting to see the Raiders in Oakland one more year. Now you just got to punch it in. So it's not quite done yet. It's getting close, but it's not quite there yet. So I will give you an update on that as we hear something. Hopefully we'll hear something sometime today, or maybe we'll hear something by Friday and we could talk about it on Monday, or, you know, maybe over the weekend, who knows, but it's just not there yet. So Selena, I might've jumped the gun a little bit. I think everybody jumped the gun a little bit, but I still think it gets done. All right. So that's the news and notes and plus my little military experience from Wednesday on Fort Hood. And I hope you appreciated that. I hope I didn't bore you to death or whatever. I just thought that that was something really cool and it really kind of touched me. So I thought I'd bring it and share it with you. Coming up in segment number two, I got calls off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, welcome back, Raider Nation, to the Locked On Raiders podcast, segment number two on this Thursday, March the 7th, 2019. Your boy Q, 707-654-4693. That is the number. Going to get to this fast and furious. Got a bunch of calls I want to get to. Let's start things off with Victor in Cali. He's calling to talk about the free agent safety position, the fact that the AFC West, in particular the Chiefs, they have a lot of speed. So how do the Raiders need to match up? He's got some good points here about that. So here's Victor in Cali.
Hey, Q, it's Victor from Cali. Hey, I'm calling just to address your question on the free agent safeties that are out there. I think what we got to look at, and if I read what Breeden's been saying correctly, it's the need for speed. We got players like Tyreek Hill that are running around getting 60-yard touchdown passes. I don't want to see that against Silver and Black at all next year. So I know there's no combine for free agents, but if you could put all those people out there that you named, including the old guys like Weddle, lining them up, who was faster? That was one of the problems with Reggie Nelson. The guy was slow, like he's running in mud. We need speed. So I don't know about any of those older guys. They're great. But if they don't have the speed, the quickness, we don't need them. Maybe we just draft in that position. I know Carl Joseph's fairly fast, but that's it. That's my only point. I think Gruden is looking at drafting and getting free agents that are going to match up best with the teams in our division. And the number one team I think he's looking at is Kansas City. And how do we stop Tyreek Hill? How do we stop Travis Kelce? That's what he's going after. So whatever linebackers out there, if they're fast, I don't know. I don't know the speeds on all these free agents. But I would say the fastest one wins. That's it. That's my only point. Thanks, QML.
Speed, speed, speed. It's something that you can't teach. Speed kills. You either got it or you don't. Good stuff right there, Victor. Quantum Raider in the 916. He's calling to talk about the point that was brought up on Wednesday's show about the Cardinals not wanting to just hand the 49ers Nick Bosa. He has a theory that might be a pipe dream, but it also might actually happen. Here he is, Quantum Raider in the 916.
Hey, Q. Quantum Raider here from the 916. I just listened to your podcast, man, and that little beginning part about Arizona not wanting to hand Bosa over to 49ers. I can't believe I never even thought about that, man. That's crazy. That changes the whole game, man. I just want to float out, an idea that I think would be cool if it was to happen. And you guys tell me if you think that's a possibility. But kind of going on the edge of what you're saying, what if, like, Gruden and Murlock are talking to the Cardinals and saying, well, you know, the Raiders just played the Cardinals, and that's only happens every 4 years. So we're not going to play you until another 4 years. You're going to play the 49ers every 2 years. So how about you take Nick Bosa, or you take Bosa as number one, and then when we get to the four, you know that San Francisco doesn't need a quarterback. You know that the Jets don't need a quarterback. They have Jimmy G and they have Sam Darnold. So why don't we can either get Kyrie Murray and we can just swap him, or you can just give us Nick Bosa and we'll give you that fourth pick. That way you get your quarterback and get our hand Bosa for the 49ers. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool if that was something that was going to happen. That's wow. That'll be like epic, like, video right there. I don't know. Maybe I'm just optimistic, but I guess. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. Anyways, keep up the good podcast. Talk to you later.
What do you think, Raider Nation? That's a hell of a theory right there. You wonder if John Gruden and Mike Mayock are working hand-in-hand with Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals? Think that's a possibility? Never know. It could be. They do have one thing in common. Neither one of them like the 49ers. No, something to think about. Quantum Raider, I hadn't thought about it in that capacity, but that's good stuff right there. Way to think outside the box. John Train in the ATL, he's up next. He's calling to respond to Brother Marquise in the 305 Miami, talking DK Metcalf. Dropping some absolute facts about Metcalf. Also explaining why he's not concerned by Metcalf and how the combine absolutely does not really matter. Something that we've kind of talked about a few times. The combine does not make it for me. Doesn't make it or break it. Like, oh, now he's a hell of a player or now he stinks. It just solidifies what you already thought. John Train in the ATL. Here he is. He's going to explain more.
What's up, Q? John Train, ATL. Calling in response to a caller. I took exception to my Decaf Metcalf take the other day, and I apologize. I forgot the caller's name. But just wanted to offer a quick rebuttal. But before we talk opinion, we do have to get a few facts straight. Well, number one, DK Metcalf, he's missed about 40% of his entire college career due to injury. And as a Raider fan, that should concern you, all right? Number two, A.J. Brown, yes, it is true. He did excel in the slot and was primarily a slot receiver his first couple of years, but I don't understand how that's a knock on him. The slot receivers are crucial in today's NFL. The Super Bowl MVP this year, Julian Edelman, slot receiver. And on top of that, when Metcalf went down last year, who do you think took his place out there on the outside in the X position? It was A.J. Brown. And what did he do? He kept producing. So not only can he play the slot, but he can be moved around. And that, you know, that's crucial in the John Gruden offense. You put DK Metcalf in John Gruden's offense, and what's he going to do? I got two words for you, bro. White Tiger. Fact number three, A.J. Brown had more yards in 2018 alone than Metcalf had for his entire collegiate career. So I'm really not sure what the debate is here. There's receivers I do like better than A.J. Brown, but I just use him as an example just to highlight the extreme bust potential of D.K. Metcalf. Ain't nobody banging on D.K. Metcalf just because he's a great athlete. I'm criticizing people who think that because he's a great athlete, they think he'll somehow become a great football player, and which he, you know, he hasn't shown that he can be that yet. And it don't work like that. And we have years and years of drafts to prove that. I consider the word potential to be a dirty word when evaluating players. And as far as the agility drills at the combine, I actually agree with you that they are overrated, which is why I didn't mention the fact that Tom Brady scored better on one of those drills than Metcalf, because it doesn't matter. What matters is what's on tape and how does a guy fit into your scheme. DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, all types of guys have proven that those combine numbers are overrated. And really, that was my original point. Kyler Murray, he's 5'10 and not 5'9. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It don't change the tape. You want to know why he's being considered the number one pick. First off, because he's a quarterback, but also because he produced yards, touchdowns, wins, and oh yeah, there's something they call the Heisman Trophy. Dude is a player. So, I mean, what are we even talking about? I don't know. I don't know, man. Q, I'm going to hit you with my free agent target list soon. One.
Good stuff from my man John Train in the ATL, and I really think that we're all kind of on the same page as that. It's just we're kind of splitting hairs as far as the combine goes and players that we kind of got our eye on, and if you prefer a DK Metcalf or an AJ Brown, clearly there needs to be some weapons around Derek Carr or whoever takes the reins as the quarterback. And so let's get to the next call. The next call comes from Flavius in Indiana. He hasn't called in a while. You know, he always is short and sweet. Well, this time he's hitting us up to talk about a free agent defensive lineman to the squad that is a younger dude, so he can get rid of a guy like a Frosty Rucker. I'm going to let you hear Flavius' call real quick, and then I'll respond to it.
Hi, Q. This is your boy, Flavius, calling from Indiana. Hey, I was just calling. I wouldn't mind if the defensive line got a little younger, get rid of Frosty. You know, he is 34, 35, and pick up, you know, a free agent that most people don't look at. He was a defensive player of the year in college, and that's Michael Sam. So I want to know what your thoughts are on that. Okay, let's.
All right, that's my man Flavius, and I don't know, my man, what you were sipping on. I don't know what kind of day it was, but I had to run that call back about 3 or 4 times at the house and verify that you said the name Michael Sam. Michael Sam is now 29 years old. He was drafted in the 7th round in 2014. He's never played a regular season down, ever. He had 11 total tackles in 4 preseason games and 3 sacks in 4 preseason games. And like I said, has never even sniffed the NFL since then. His ship has sailed. I don't know what made you think of Michael Sam. I felt like when I heard that call, all I could picture, Flavius, and this is not me being disrespectful, this is not me trying to make jokes or anything, talk bad about you, all I could picture is a couple homeboys sitting around the house chilling, like me and a couple other my homies, and like a dude just sitting up there, and he's about his 4th beer in, or maybe he's his 4th brandy and coke, or some drink, right? And he's a little tipsy and feeling a little silly, and is like, dog, Q, you remember that cat, Michael Sam? What in the hell's Michael Sam doing? Remember that dude who came out and he had a boyfriend when he got drafted? And remember he kissed him in the mouth? Yeah, that dude. Remember all that cake stuff they did on TV? Whatever happened to that cat? Oh, man, he ain't been in the league in a while, man. He's out. Oh, well, how old is he, Q? Man, he's like 29. There it is, dog. That's the answer. It's not that hard, man. He can rush the passer, bro. John Gruden called Michael Sam. That's all I could think of when I heard that call. And again, I ain't talking trash. I'm just saying I thought that was kind of funny. That's one of those dude, where's my car type moments. But anyway, Flavius, it's always good to hear from you. And again, I think that ship has sailed on Michael Sam. He might be on the AAF or the XFL, but he's nowhere near the NFL. Now let me close out segment number 2 before Flavius gets mad at me. Joe in Portland. I think his name is Joe. He said it kind of quick, but he's calling to talk about the safety position for the Raiders and what they should do, talking free agents and draft picks. Here's, I think, Joe in Portland.
Hey, that Joe in Portland. I just wanted to address the safeties and Landon Collins. I'm fine getting Landon Collins, but I don't think we need to throw the entire checkbook at him. He's all right, but, I mean, we have three picks from 24 to 35 in a very solid safety draft class in that range. We got guys like Nasir Adderley, Deontay Thompson, who's fallen a bit, so we might be able to maybe even get him later than that, even on a trade back or something. We've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Jonathan Abram, so many guys. Juan Thornhill, just there are so many guys who can fit different roles on this defense at the safety position, and maybe if we, even if we get Landon Collins and Carl Joseph still, we can still utilize their skill sets, even as some of those guys are better at covering deep, some of them are better utilized in other roles, like handle the tight ends or the, and a couple of them are good at handling the slot receivers and things like that. So I think safety, we can handle the safety position either in the draft or free agency, and we will be completely fine. All right, bye.
All right, good stuff. He brings up some good points right there. So I appreciate Joe in Portland, Flavius in Indiana, John Train in the ATL, Quantum Raider in the 916, and Victor in Cali. Now, coming up in segment number three, I got some more calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, final segment of the day is segment number three of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, Thursday, March 7th, 2019. Your boy Q on Twitter, at your boy Q254. A lot of calls that I want to get to, 707-654-4693. This is almost like one of those, not climate controls, but whatever, who cares. Anyway, Sonic in Northwest Tri-Cities. That's right, Sonic in Northwest Tri-Cities. He's calling to talk Derek Carr and how we are, or we should be, done with that conversation. He also points out many of the Raider Nation, including myself, who didn't care about draft position during the season, instead wanted wins, and I still stick to that I'd rather have wins than them just tank, just to try to get that number one overall pick. He talks about players that the Raiders could be looking at in the draft, possibly target. I think my man was outside working. You'll hear it in the back. You'll hear a little background noise, but a very detailed call. Real good stuff right here. Sonic in Northwest Tri-Cities.
Hey, what's up, Q? This is Sonic out here in the Northwest, the Tri-Cities, you know, just repping the Raider Nation. I'm good, y'all. But, I called in just because I'm always talking about Derek Carr, whoop-de-whoop, doo-doo-doo-doo, you know, we're done with that. We're done. All y'all, a lot of fans wanted a 4-12 season because you guys wanted to win. You guys didn't care about the draft. Now that the draft is up, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, why Rashawn Gary, this and that. Let's trade down, let's trade up. But in reality, if we did, you know, end up with the second or the first, or maybe the third, we could have got these top rated guys, you know, Josh Allen, Nick Bosa. I don't know about Quinnen Williams, man. We're pretty solid in D.C., you know, Vanderbilt, Mo Hurst, Jelly. You know, we're pretty solid, P.J. Hall. Defensive end is what we need. And honestly, I don't see it up for it. With Rashawn Gary, if we're gonna pick, you know, a changing the tide, changing the franchise, I don't think a developmental player is what we need. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. If we could trade up, trade one of our first-round picks, and, of course, trade up, get Nick Bosa. And at number 24, you know, fix the safety, fix the back end. Nasir Adderley, Deontay Thompson, Jonathan Abram. You know, that could work. That could be pretty dope. And with the 35th pick and on, you know, work on our offense, you know, a little defense, O-line here and there. But I don't know, man. I really – Rashawn Gary at number four, all the mocks have us taking him at four. Quinnen Williams, I don't either, man. I don't see how we can take another DT if we need that definitely. I don't think we need a corner. I know for a fact we need a safety. Yeah, man, enough of the car talk, man. Let's talk about the draft. Let's talk about free agency, like CJ Mosley, Anthony Barr. I don't know about no defensive end. I don't know about no corner. Maybe a wide receiver like Tyrell Williams, maybe. Not too sure. I think they'll probably keep him. I don't think they'll let him go. We should really, really certify our linebacker for CJ Mosley, Anthony Barr. I would really want Anthony Barr, you know, he's side on the sideline. He can rush the passer. He'd be a cool picker. A little far in the middle, for sure. And in the draft, 4, 24, 27. You know, for me, Josh Allen, number 4, no doubt. 24. Since we picked up Anthony Barr in free agency, well, for me anyway, I'm looking at receiver, looking at corner, I'm looking at safety. Whoever's best available in what position, let's pick up. And at 27, you know, same thing. If we can get and kill Harry, DK Metcalf, I don't know, now. But if we can get those guys, I'll be cool. But 35 and on, you know, we could probably, you know, solidify our O-line. I don't know about running back. I don't know about all that, but we could possibly trade up as well. You know, we can trade our number 4 and number 27 to number 1 to get both of them. And keep number 24 and pick up a fast start. The receiver, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a safety. That's what we need. We need to solidify what we need the most is our defense. Offense, you know, for sure we need that too, but it's our defense, man. But, yeah, man, that's all I got, bro. Let's focus more on the free agency. Let's focus more on the draft. Because all that car comes, man, that's set in stone already, you know. He's going to be our quarterback, and that's that, man. Let's focus on that. Hey, man, I want to hear people talk about our 4-12 season because that's what they wanted. They wanted a 4-12 season. And I haven't heard anybody talk about our 4-12 season. They had a poll out there talking about what would you rather have, us winning games or a high pick in the draft. And y'all picked winning games, and it was a 4-12 season. So let's talk about that now. All right? All right, let's Raider Nation. Peace.
Thank you, my man. Good stuff right there. And like I said before, I still think that going ahead and winning some games during the 2018 season was important for this Raiders team. So, no, I would not sacrifice those wins for a couple better spots up the draft board. I'm not worried about moving up. If anything, I think the Raiders should move back. Now, Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest, he's calling to move on from the combine since it's over now, but is focusing his attention on upcoming free agency. He brings up the points that Mike Mayock brought up on his introductory press conference. He also is talking safeties. Here's Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you. It's Raider Jim from the Pacific Northwest, and the combine's over. And I think it would behoove us all to now focus in on free agency. I know that's going to become a big topic of discussion, not only throughout the NFL, but for the Raider Nation in particular. And I think it bears repeating what Mike Mayock set forth in his original presser back on the 31st of December, when he talked about free agency and he talked about, you know, there are various tiers. What's a first tier free agent? First tier free agent is age appropriate. He's got to be medically clean. He's already a starter and he needs to be a difference maker. And so, you know, he said very few of those people qualify for that kind of rigor. That kind of they don't satisfy all those conditions that he thinks are important for a top-tier free agent. He also mentions that, look, free agents, they call them top-tier, but they're really not because they don't comply or they don't satisfy those conditions. So, Raider Nation, you need to think about that. You know, temper your enthusiasm for free agency and think about, you know, if there's a top-tier guy out there, fine. But also recognize that they're going to take a look at that guy and see whether he satisfies those four conditions. And let's see if they do it. I mean, let's hold their feet to the fire. Let's see if they actually do what they say. I think with Mayock around, the likelihood that that'll happen is going to be very high. There's your second tiers and your third tiers. But he also said you need to be careful. And so now with the latest revelations, with what you mentioned too on your show, you know, safeties have become available. Landon Collins, Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle. Do we want to bring one of those guys and shutter, for instance, Carl Joseph? I'm not sure whether we want to do that. I mean, Landon Collins, for me, is probably the best of the lot. Why? Because, one, age, he's 25 years old. Two, he's medically clean. Three, he's a starter. And four, he's a difference maker. Moreover, he's 25 years old compared to Earl Thomas, who's 30. And there are only three other guys that have gone to three consecutive Pro Bowls that are safeties. Thomas, Eric Berry, and Collins. We should go grab them if we can, is my opinion. So that's my thought on free agency. You know, Raider Nation, keep your eyes open and your ears clear and recognize that there's not going to be very many people out there that satisfy that norm for the first tier. But for second tier and third tier, it's still important. The other thing that Mayock summed it up with is, look, you got to look at the football player and the person. In other words, no knuckleheads. So with that, Raider Nation, I'm out.
All right, great stuff and great points right there. And free agency right around the corner, so you know, hot and heavy, the Raiders are going to be involved. They got a lot of cash to spend, and they can actually make a lot more if they make some moves on the roster that I do expect them to be making pretty shortly. Now, Raider J in the BK, he's calling to talk AB. What scares him about this potential trade? Also brings up the Coliseum situation. Those are two subjects that we mentioned in segment number one. And then he basically summarizes his Raiders fandom and his experiences. This is a really good call from Raider J in the BK.
Hey Q, Raider J from the BK. About 27 chilly degrees here in Brooklyn, New York, and I am definitely ready for spring. Hey, a couple quick hits. Getting a little nervous here. Number one, Antonio Brown. Josina Anderson just tweeted that she spoke to a league source who said it was down to a one-team race for Antonio Brown. And I know the Steelers are pushing to get a deal done by Friday. This scares me because they're creating a sense of urgency, and it kind of feels like the Steelers are about to get over on the Raiders again, just like they did for Martavis Bryant for a third-round pick. Listen, if we give up anything close to a first-rounder, even our second-round pick or even swapping second-round picks, I think that's a mistake, and it shows a lack of discipline from Mayock and Gruden. There's no market out there for Brown, I don't think, at least for a first-round pick. I'd be really surprised, but if we let him go and some other team gives up a first round pick, fine. We should do that. That's what disciplined teams do. Number two, on the Oakland Coliseum issue, I just read today that Scott McKibben, who's the head of the Coliseum Authority, was quoted as saying there's a rather significant issue, so much so that it puts us in a position where there's not a deal. He's waiting for an answer from the Raiders. I guess this just so typical of the Raiders. And particularly Mark Davis, and like father, like son. It's like you should be playing the long game. Just get the deal done. Everyone knew Oakland was going to be a problem. Why wouldn't they be? You're removing the team and taking them to Las Vegas. There's going to be some hurt feelings. They're not going to give you the best terms. Just get the deal done and be finished and move on. And that brings me to the overarching point that I'm trying to make here, is that I've been a fan of the Raiders since the 70s, and this is the worst part of being a Raider fan. It's almost like management takes pride in being dysfunctional and to being ego-driven and prideful. If you look at the best teams, they're disciplined in everything they do, from the draft to the free agency to staffing, player development, how they communicate with the media, how they deal with fans, everything. And I'm just hoping that Mayock and Gruden are really – this is all about poker and misdirection and everything else. And sometimes I think it is that. But I'm really hoping it is, and I hope they're building for the long haul, and they're not giving up high picks for older marquee players. We have been there and done that, and it has not worked out well. So it's time to raise the bar, guys. Let's start building a professional organization that deserves to move into a $2 billion stadium. That's all I got to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Raider J and the BK. Very good call right there. And the call was really clean, too. Your phone was working really good, so I definitely appreciate that. Now, got to finish off the day today with Akeem in Oakland. You thought we were going to get by without Akeem and without too much Derek Carr talk? Well, he's only going to talk Derek Carr for a couple minutes. Actually, probably only like a minute. And then he gets into DK Metcalf in a response to Brother Marquise in a 305. And then he briefly speaks on Kyler Murray as well. So Akeem in Oakland, but he's got a couple subjects to talk about, not just Derek Carr. Here he is.
Hey, what's up? It's Akeem out of Oakland. Hey, seems every single day, we have people call. And they bash, how dare you talk about Derek Carr? How dare you? look at what we had before. As opposed to you prepping Derek Carr up to seem like he's more than a mediocre quarterback, just say that you're afraid of us having a below-average quarterback, so you want to keep your mediocre quarterback. You don't have to prop him up and make him seem to be more than what he is. 5 years, pretty good sample size. 1-5 right now. Mediocre. Just say, I'm afraid of us having a below-average quarterback, so I want to hold on to the average quarterback that we have. Much, much better. I want to say Brother Marquise. Numbers don't lie. Yes, DK Metcalf did have a great combine. Yes, he did. But you need production on the field. Height, weight, speed gets you Darius Hayward Bay. Right now, DK Metcalf is height, weight, speed. He's never had 1,000 yards receiving. He's never had a 700-yard receiving season. He's never had 700 yards. 3 years, albeit he got hurt twice, but he's never had more than 700 yards. And last year, when he played against Greedy Williams, the quarterback at LSU, 3 catches for 30 yards. Stay away from that guy. Stay away from him. Why would we do that to ourselves? You talk bad about A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown had 2,000-yard receiving yards. He was the number one receiver on that team. And DK Metcalf still didn't crack 1,000. He didn't crack over 700. So you stay away from guys like that who just show out at the combine, but they didn't produce on the field. And I just want to chime in on the Kyler Murray talk. Hopefully, if we don't get him, I say we go after Josh Rosen. I know that maybe taboo, but if we could get Josh Rosen for a second round pick, why not? All the car enthusiasts will be able to keep Derek Carr, and him and Josh Rosen could battle it out. I think that'd be great. Second round pick, I mean, look, we've wasted plenty of second round picks. Bigfoot was a second round pick. Jahad Ward was a second-round pick. Why not?
All right, Akeem in Oakland, definitely appreciate that call. That was good stuff right there. Always good stuff, man. Always good to hear from you. Raider J in the BK, Raider Jim in the Pacific Northwest, and Sonic in Northwest Tri-Cities. Appreciate all the calls. Appreciate everyone that has any kind of military background, anyone who has any family that may be currently serving, that did serve, anyone who knows anybody that has any type of military background. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for everyone who downloads this podcast, listens to this podcast, shares this podcast. We're 100,000 plus downloads so far in 2019. That's a hell of a job, and thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. And yeah, there's a lot of different Raider podcasts out there that you can listen to. Hell, I'm part of a couple of them, and you know, you choose to listen to this one, so I appreciate it. I appreciate it some more. So until next time, until Friday's episode, you'll hear from Benjamin Albright. He'll be on my radio show later on today, talking about the super team that Gruden wants to put together and a whole lot more. And that's coming up on Friday's show. Until then, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.